The midterm elections are less than 3 weeks away, so anyone within range of a television has been bombarded with ads like this one.
As a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, she skipped a key hearing where a top official gave an early warning about a new terrorist group known as ISIS. Jean Shaheen, standing with Obama, not New Hampshire.
Republican Senate nominee Scott Brown's campaign criticizing the Democratic New Hampshire Senator Jean Shaheen on ISIS. In response, Shaheen's people accused Scott Brown of peddling politics of fear and pointed out she'd voted to support airstrikes against ISIS. ISIS and Ebola have crept into campaign ads. One or the other might be the so-called October surprise, the thing that can turn a race. Let's check in with NPR politics editor Charlie Mathesian. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Robin.
And start with Ebola. Here's an ad from Democratic Senator Mark Pryor of Arkansas criticizing his Republican opponent, the Congressman Tom Cotton.
The Ebola outbreak is worse than anybody
is, quote, vastly underestimated.
Tom Cotton voted against preparing America for pandemics like Ebola.
And Charlie, Cotton supporters and other Republicans are talking about skewed funding priorities. But is this a good idea in general? It just seemed to come out of nowhere in the last week or so.
Well, that's exactly what happened, Robin. The Ebola issue really came out of the blue. It was not on anyone's radar for most of the election cycle. And then all of a sudden, this is an issue that candidates on both sides of the aisle are forced to grapple with and talk about on the campaign trail and in their debates. And now we're beginning to see the first evidence of hard-hitting ads that attempt to place the blame on the opposition. Now, will that work? It's probably too early to tell right now. Certainly at the moment, there's no evidence that it's having a material effect on any particular race, but we haven't seen that many ads on it yet.
Well, and it's a tricky, tricky proposition because you could be seen as, you know, exploiting people's pain. I mentioned the Republicans' talking points. Here's Colorado Republican Representative Cory Gardner in a debate earlier this week talking about the CDC and, you know, what they spend their money on.
Jazzercise programs, massage therapy, and urban gardens. How about we use money responsibly to make sure that we are protecting the American people instead of spending it wastefully under this administration?
You know, here, they're more of the Republican strategy and expanding it out to the Obama administration.
Right. Well, the Republican strategy here is twofold. First, Republicans need to weave the Ebola crisis and response into their broader campaign narrative about White House incompetence. And they also need to and are trying to push back against the idea that Republican fiscal austerity or the Republicans, House Republicans' interest in reducing the size of federal government is somehow responsible for a bungled or ineffective response to the outbreak.
Yeah. Well, and then there's always the, you know, how it plays out. I would think if Ebola, but it's actually not an outbreak right now, right? The CDC officials say it hasn't risen to that yet. You know, a few cases, it does not make for them an outbreak. But if it becomes one in which many, many people are ill, a sitting administration will be to blame. But can it also take credit if it's nipped in the bud?
Right. I mean, that's the problem that Republicans face with these ads. And if the administration is perceived, at least in the polls by voters, as having effectively responded and done it in a quick and efficient way, then all of a sudden those ads become meaningless and just get lost in the noise of the campaign.
Yeah. We mentioned ISIS. Talk about that and other issues that you're seeing come up.
Well, of course, there are the hardy perennial issues that you see in every election cycle, but the rise of ISIS has led to this boomlet of foreign policy or national security-oriented ads this year, and typically you don't see that much of that during congressional campaign season. And some of these ISIS-oriented ads have been pretty edgy, including, in one example, the use of frames from one of the ISIS beheading videos. So that's pretty much on the edge. But there's one thing to keep in mind when it comes to some of these ads that we're seeing or hearing about. Very often they're produced simply for shock value or to gain attention for a flagging campaign. In other words, they don't really get that much widespread attention. There's no buy behind it. Mm-hmm. And this is because campaigns understand that these kinds of spots are catnip for the media, which will write about them, and they never really even have to spend much money to get them on the air.
Yeah. Let's talk about the ads in general. What's the worst so far, in your opinion?
Well, I would say one of the worst is there's a brutal ad that's just been released by Texas Democratic candidate for Governor Wendy Davis, and that's been called one of the nastiest ads you'll ever see. And it's drawn some unusually harsh criticism because it uses the video of an empty wheelchair to attack the wheelchair-bound Republican Attorney General Greg Abbott, who's running against Wendy Davis. And that's really captured the attention of lots of newspapers.
Greg Abbott was a runner. He was struck by a tree during a storm, paralyzed from the waist down. He's in a wheelchair. And so as you look at this empty wheelchair, here's a portion of the Wendy Davis ad.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott. He sued and got millions. Since then, he's spent his career working against other victims. Greg Abbott, he's not for you.
Boy, Charlie, I mean, you know, her critics are saying, as you said, too far. But others are saying, how do you get across? That is the point that she wants to make, which is that he's stopped other people from getting payouts.
Right. And while that ad is out there, it also underscores the precarious situation that Wendy Davis finds herself in. Oftentimes when a candidate is trailing the way Wendy Davis has and the polls aren't moving and it's getting late in the campaign, you resort to these sorts of Hail Mary passes, campaign ads that are designed to shock, just simply to change the momentum of a campaign and to gain some attention.
Yeah, but which way might the momentum go? How about one of the best ads?
Okay, well, this one's easy for me, Robin. My favorite ad of the election cycle isn't from a congressional or even from a statewide race. Rather, it's from a candidate in a state legislative seat in Alabama named Darius Foster. When I first saw it, I found it to be really powerful and thought-provoking because it aims to challenge stereotypes, which is especially important in this candidate's case because he's a black Republican candidate running an uphill race in an Alabama district that is not Republican.
Yeah, I think we have a little bit of that ad from Darius Foster, again, talking about the questions that he's asked.
Since I've announced my campaign, people mostly ask me, how long have I been a Republican? Where do I live? What school did I attend? I suppose they're just trying to get to know me or put me in a box.
Yeah, that idea of putting him in a box. I think you have one more that we can listen to. Dr. Monica Webby.
Right. This is another great ad that got lots of attention this cycle. And Dr. Webby was involved in this competitive primary, but she produced an ad that really serves as rocket fuel for her campaign because it was so powerful. It was very much of a tearjerker of an ad about her work as a pediatric neurosurgeon. Now, typically, as soon as I hear the tinkling piano music, I tune it out immediately. But this one really strikes a chord because of the authenticity of the mother who speaks of what Dr. Webby did for her daughter.
She talks about being 21 weeks pregnant, having an ultrasound, and what her doctor did for her. We'll have it for you at hereandnow.org. Charlie Mattesi, politics editor at NPR, thank you as always.
Thank you, Robin.